Well, this is the fifth teaching segment on God's thoughts, God's principles on money and finance. We left off last time reading from 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 4. Turn there and we will look at this passage about offerings. We're talking about offerings. We'll talk about alms next. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 4. Reads like this. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia. Listen to that first phrase, the grace of God which was given to the churches in Macedonia. That in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in support of the saints. The Macedonians begged for the favor of giving an offering, getting into this process of giving and receiving. And it's very clear here. They were poor. They were afflicted. I'm not sure what all was going on, but they were in difficult circumstances. So why did they want to give like this? Well, first of all, I think God gave them compassion for those that were in need. They had been poor. They had been hurt. They knew what it was like. And so they wanted to help. And let me give you a little warning before we go on from this. Okay, I want to tell you a story on myself. Be careful what you do when you have enough money. Be careful that when you get money, your heart doesn't get hardened, okay? So Debbie and I went through 3 years of just excruciating, crushing poverty several years ago. And in the middle of that, we were praying and we were asking the Lord to bring us back into a place of financial stability, and eventually He did. And about a year after we had come back to financial stability, I noticed there was something ugly down in my heart, because this is what I noticed. When it came time, when I found somebody that was in financial need, instead of me having compassion on them, I was critical. In my heart, I'd say, well, they should work hard and save like I do. This is my money. I don't want to give any of it away. I mean, it was really ugly. but fortunately, God's merciful. And He reminded me of where I'd come from and who had brought me out of that crushing poverty. And it wasn't me. It was Him. And so be careful when you start to get some money and don't forget where you've come from and who brought you out to where you are now. Anyway, the Macedonians, they knew what it was like to be poor. And they weren't giving away money. They were investing in God's plan for sowing and reaping. They were investing in this matter of giving and receiving. And I want you to look at verse 3. It says, "For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave." Now, they were poor. How did they have enough money to give? Well, that's why I wanted you to notice the grace of God phrase in verse 1. They were motivated to give. They had compassion to give. And because of that, God poured His grace out on them. He multiplied blessings to them so that they would have to give to this offering, this special offering for the saints. God can do that with you too. Proverbs 11. Turn to Proverbs 11 and verses 24 and 25. This is probably a scripture you can quote to me. There is one who scatters and yet increases all the more. And there's one who withholds what is justly due and yet results in only want. And then he explains that verse in the next verse in verse 25. He says, the generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. just another way of stating what Jesus stated in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over will men give into your bosom. For what measure you measure to others, that's the measure that God will use in blessing you. In this principle of giving and receiving, this principle of reaping and sowing, are you going to get rich? No. But it does show us that if we invest in the kingdom, then we can expect blessings to come back to us. Let me talk about a couple of things just about making sure it's clear about what the differences are between offerings and alms and tithes, etc. By definition, the tithe can never be more than 10%. It is, by definition, a tenth. Anything above and beyond the 10% then is an offering of some kind. My parishioners, I have them designate on offering envelopes when they put money in or checks in. I have them designate what is it, what of it is tithe and what of it is offering. That way I can make sure it's accounted for properly in the kingdom of God and give tithes back to Archbishop Jones, etc. Also, if you have no increase, if you have no income, you owe no tithe. So if you put $1,000 in the plate on Sunday, but you had no income, wages, increase that week, then all $1,000 of that is offering. Making pledges for future offerings. Pledges have to be above and beyond the tithe. If you pay your pledge out of the tithe, then you're in violation of your pledge because you paid the pledge from God's holy tithe, not from the other money. If you make a pledge to give a certain amount each week or each month, like you want to support an offering, you want to support a missionary, you want to give to a mission fund, a building program, anything where you make a commitment, make it for a fixed period of time. Make it for 6 months or make it for a year. And then at the end of that time, you can always renew, but it also gives you the freedom at the end of that time for the Lord to say, okay, it's time for you to do something else with that money. So take that as some practical advice. And by the way, if you haven't paid your tithe, then anything you put in the plate is just paying off the debt of your tithe. It's not offering, and it doesn't count as some investment that you can expect to return on. That's just the way it is. Okay, we've talked about tithes, we've talked about offerings, let's talk a minute about alms. Alms is money that are given to the poor. That word alms comes from a Greek word that means to have pity on. And so, like offerings, our alms, they're not holy, they fall under your stewardship, but they come from a place of your compassion for someone else and your giving to help them. They're not given into the storehouse of the local church, but they're given either directly to the person, or they can be given to the poor folks or the folks in need through the church. I really think that's what was happening with the Macedonians and what Paul was talking about here. The church may even have some kind of alms program. We have an agape fund, for instance, and sometimes folks will just feel led that they want to put some money in that agape fund, and then when somebody has a need, especially someone that's in poverty or they're destitute, well, we can take from that agape fund to give to them. Recently, one of our couples, she was pregnant. She had to quit her work. And about that time, before the baby came, he got laid off of his job. And he was out of work for 2 months. And so they got way behind in their bills. Several of the folks gave them groceries and helped in lots of ways. And from the Agape Fund, the church was able to write them a pretty good-sized check to help catch them up on their rent. So it's alms. Turn to Acts chapter 10, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. Acts chapter 10, and we're going to look at how giving alms has a way of releasing God to bless you. Now, there was a man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, and he gave many alms to the Jewish people, and he prayed to God continually. About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, Cornelius. And fixing his gaze on this angel and being much alarmed, he said, What is it, Lord? And the angel said to him, Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. When you give, you'll receive a reward in this life for the act of giving. That's part of God's promise. That's just the way offerings and alms work. Now, God's blessing may not always be financial back to you, but this is certainly proof that money is definitely involved in God's principle of giving and receiving, sowing and reaping, because he says right here, because of your giving, I'm going to do something special for you. It's not some super spiritual concept. This is just practical about money, okay? Turn to Matthew 6, and we're going to look at what Jesus said about almsgiving. Jesus talks here about making sure that your motivation is right when you give alms. Let's read this. It's Matthew 6, the first four verses. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So, when you give to the poor, that's when you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues or in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, when you give alms, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So, if your acts of charity are not properly motivated, it sounds to me like the rewards are going to be stunted or stifled, or somehow it just won't count. When you give alms, God will bless you in return. But if the return you're expecting is some kind of praise for what you're giving, then I think it may not count, okay? When you invest, you're definitely doing it for the purpose of getting a return. I mean, that's what investment is. I invest a little so I can get back a return. Offerings are a type of investment in the kingdom for which we expect a return. Almsgiving, I think, is a little different. Yes, we can expect a return, just like Cornelius saw a return. But I think if that's your motivation, then I think something's not right. Your motivation needs to be compassion, needs to be gratitude for God for how he's blessed you, so you want to bless somebody else. Remember, the Greek word for alms comes from the word to have pity on. If that's not where you're coming from, then I'm not sure it's going to count as alms, okay? Alms and offerings are ways for us to tell God how grateful we are for what he's done for us. It's us saying, God, you've been so generous with me. How can I help but not be generous? How can I not be generous to others, especially for those in need? I've been there. You took care of me. I want to make sure you know how much I appreciate that. Let's just look at a little footnote related to this real quick before we go into some practicalities about giving. When you notice that if you're doing something because you want to get someone else's praise, you need to check your foundation. I think you're in serious trouble. If you're trying to establish your worth through the praises of others, that means that you're unsure of your value. You don't know where your value is coming from, and you need to seek the Lord, and you need to resolve that problem area. Okay, that's free. Not part of the teaching. Okay, so let's talk about some practicalities about giving, okay? Have you ever heard a preacher say this? I don't know how many times I've heard this. They'll be talking about giving, especially the prosperity message, and they'll say, you can't outgive God. And you know, I can tell you that if you give everything you have to the church and you continue paycheck after paycheck to give all your money and all your stuff to the church, then it won't be long before you and your family are out on the street and starving. Okay. I mean, you're not in some kind of a competition with God in this matter of giving and receiving. God's not asking you to set your level of giving. He does that for us, okay? My goal in life is to be just like Jesus. Jesus said, the only things that I do are the things that I have first heard or seen from the Father. That's the only things I do. As a spirit-filled man walking on this earth, that is my goal in life, to make sure that the only things that I do or say are the things that I have first heard from Jesus. I want to be ruthless about that in my life. And I need to be ruthless about that even in my giving. I want to be careful down to the smallest detail of life, and that goes for offerings and alms, as just like it does for anything else. We're His stewards for whatever He's given us, and a good steward always spends the master's money the way the master wants him to, okay? Offerings and alms need to be given as the Lord leads. God is not going to bless disobedience in giving any more than He's going to bless disobedience in any other area. Or maybe you've heard this. Again, part of the prosperity message. Tithe this year for the income that you want next year. And then the preacher says, if you want to double your income next year, just give 20% tithe this year and next year. And then he tells a story about how somebody gave 20% and the next year their income doubled. Well, that's just utter nonsense, okay? That's not scriptural at all. Sometimes God has cut my pay from year to year, and sometimes He's increased it. But you know what? He's always supplied. He's always provided for our needs, whether our income was high or low. The principle of the tithe is very practical. When you make more, you give more in tithe. When you make less, you give less in tithe. Tithe is exactly a tenth of the increase or your income. It's not about making you or your church or your pastor rich. The tithe is there to pay for the preacher and cover the cost of operating the church and things like that. God doesn't ask us to participate in this matter of giving and receiving as a contest with Him. This is not some kind of bag of magic beans or a genie in a lamp. And you say the magic words and all of a sudden money comes in. It's just not like that. He asks us to give according to two principles. One is we give the tithe, the tenth, to our local church. Anything above and beyond that, it by definition, is offerings or alms. And the offerings and alms that we give, we do that according to how the Holy Spirit leads us. I want to tell you a story about, remember that time when we were in crushing poverty, went through that period of great poverty? In the middle of that, we had gotten behind on our house mortgage payment. Here in the United States, the way we do things is you don't just build a house a little at a time as you have income for it. What you do is you buy a house already built, you borrow the money to buy the house, and then you pay that money back on a monthly basis. It's called a mortgage. And so we had gotten 3 months behind on our mortgage, and they were about to take our house away. And so my mother calls in the middle of this, and she says, you know, I've been praying for y'all, and I just felt like I'm supposed to send you some money. Do y'all need any money? Well, we hadn't told anybody about our need, except God. Of course, we're praying to Him. Well, yeah, that would be helpful, Mother, if you could send some money. Well, how much do you need? Would you send what you think the Lord wants you to send? Okay, that's what I'll do. A few days later, we got a check, and I mean, it was a big check. It was way more than we expected, but it was enough to pay off the 3 months of back mortgage, the 3 months of the electricity bill we were behind on, and it was enough to pay off to buy some groceries as well. I mean, it was the exact right amount, and there's three lessons from the story, okay? One, my mother gave as the Holy Spirit led her to give, and it was exactly the right amount. Number two, God was able to bless us through my mother. We had always tithed, we'd always given offerings, had always been faithful, and God said, okay, like Cornelius, I'm going to bless you. And third thing is, because my mother was generous to give as the Lord led, guess what? She was always financially cared for. I mean, she was never rich, but she never did without. Okay, we're going to stop here and we'll pick up in a minute and talk about inheritance.